Hi, I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. I make no secret of the fact that I'm into a bit of spirituality, and one way and another during lockdown one, I found myself booking a tarot reading with today's guest, Tamara Dreisen. Tamara is the author of Luna and the Crystal Code, and in this episode I speak to her a bit more about her story and about how she found herself tarot reading and what we can learn from ancient practices such as astrology and living by the moon. Without further ado, here she is.
So before we kick off, we're recording this in the middle of, actually there's many retrogrades going on, isn't there? And so things are, you know, a little bit against us, including some drilling going on tomorrow's next door neighbour, but we're going to soldier on and hope that we can go with it anyhow, aren't we?
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Right on cue. So I always like to start the podcast with some quick fire questions, and the name of the game is Honesty.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you?
I want to say, do you remember my first answer was going to be 10?
Was it?
Yeah, but I was like, what? Like, no.
Well, don't edit it. Don't.
No, but I was that shocked me as well.
It's like 10.
But I think it's like 10 today because I've had my period. Like, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how funny are you?
People say I'm funny. But I don't see that in my, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like funny, but people say I'm funny.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's good.
But I don't know if it's my jokes or just because I'm a weirdo.
Yeah, funny as in a bit unusual.
Yeah.
Rather than hilarious. Yeah. They're often kind of the same.
Yeah.
And especially if you sit comfortably in your more unusual stuff, then that's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
What is your favourite colour?
Like a corally, peachy kind of colour.
What is your favourite smell?
I really like that, you know, those like fig candles. That's always my go-to.
Diptyque have a fig one, don't they? But it's got a fancy other name, but yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Kind of, this is a bigger picture, but what star sign are you, or sun star sign, I suppose?
I am an Aries star
sign. Yeah. Are you?
What are you? You're Virgo, aren't you?
No, Pisces. I'm a Pisces, Libra rising, Aries moon.
Okay.
What's your full?
So I'm Aquarius moon and Libra rising, but I wasn't sure on my birth time, so I wasn't sure if I was Libra or Scorpio, but you can do this thing called like rectification. So you put in your details and it asks you those questions and it helps to pinpoint the actual time you were born.
And so, it's changed or it's confirmed what you...
Yeah.
That's handy because I can't remember one of the times when my kids was born, which is really bad. I was trying to find it in researching this. Do you think it's harder to be honest with yourself or honest with others?
I would say both, depending on what the situation is.
And I guess they are linked, aren't they?
Yeah. When you're lying to yourself, you're denying something or you're resisting something. And then if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't really be honest with other people.
That's the truth, isn't it? If you're, basically it's about fixing yourself first, usually, isn't it?
Yeah.
And last one, what is your worst habit?
What is my worst habit? And my boyfriend would say, like, just leaving stuff around. I'm a bit of a whirlwind. I'm organised chaos, but he likes everything to have its own place.
Oh, really?
Whereas I might leave something and just forget it's there. To him, it feels like months, but for me, it's only like a couple of days.
Yeah, that's difficult. But you kind of hopefully will balance each other out a bit.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Ben would say my worst habit is I don't screw lids on things properly because I'm always rushed. Where like the Marmite will be, and then he goes to pick it up and drops it, and it's really bad. And it's such a small thing that I don't, you know, it's obviously just a learned habit.
But yeah.
I can see why it is annoying. I wouldn't admit that to him. So I have you here to talk about the moon or lunar living. And this is really interesting, actually, because obviously I talk about all kinds of subjects and I always ask Instagram about the subjects before I research them. And this has been the single most divisive bit of research. Ooh. And people are absolutely 50-50 split. Yeah. And it's like usually about 7,000 people are replying to this, so quite a big pool. Do you believe the moon impacts you? And 50 said it did, 50 said they didn't. Are you interested in astrology? Again, 50-50 split. And are you interested in how the moon impacts you? And again, 50-50 split. And so that's really interesting that it's so absolutely divided. And like, put my cards on the table, I think probably I didn't really believe in it. And then the more you learn about it and the more awareness you have, the more I've begun to be at a point when I couldn't really deny the impact of the moon. Yeah. First of all, how did you get into this kind of spiritual practice, for want of a better expression?
So I've always been, like, even like as a child, been into crystals and the tarot and like the craft, and just wanted to be a witch basically, but didn't really think that it was a real thing. Just dabbled in learning about it. And then it wasn't till I was like in my mid-20s where I just had a bit of a, like, it's like quarter life crisis, like 28, like Saturn return.
For anyone listening, that is when Saturn comes back to the place it was when you were born. So it's usually around about 29 and a half.
Yeah, it's like a 28, 29 year cycle. So we'll have that a couple of times in our lives. But it's just when that happens, it's that point where if we're not living in alignment with how we should be and our core values, the shit hits the fan basically, and it really pushes us to get into alignment with what we want. And it's normally that kind of awakening of, I've been living my life by everyone else's standards and what other people want me to do, and I'm really not happy. What do I want to do? And then it's that the identity crisis and the ego death, and then that journey to work out what you actually want to do.
I mean, those years were probably the most difficult years of my life. And I'm 38 now. So, I only learned about this week and I've been reflecting. And it's actually the first time during that period that I went to the doctors for mental health. I ended up becoming, that's when I became a mother for the first time. It's like, oh, wow, really difficult years. So, yeah, fascinating.
Yeah. So, similar to you, I went to the doctors because of my mental health, and I had like a long-term like eating disorder, and I just kind of got to the point where, like, is this it? Like, I need to sort myself out because this can't be how I live forever. Yeah,
exactly. And then, was like, I remember having a conversation with myself thinking, this can't be who I am now.
Yeah. So then, I went to the doctors, and I wanted to have counselling and kind of go, already kind of feeling like I wanted to go. I'd been on antidepressants before, and I just didn't feel like it was the right thing for me to do this time. But that was kind of where they wanted to push me. And when I declined the prescription, the doctor said, like, well, if you don't want to help yourself, like, I can't help you. And it just lit a fire up my bum, because I was like, well, I'm just going to do all the other stuff that I've always wanted to, like, been interested in, and see where that takes me, because there must be something else. There must be another option. And then I started exploring crystals and the tarot and learning more healing practices. And then I ended up going to Bali to be an apprentice to a shaman for like 2 months there. And it transformed me. Like, my anxiety was gone. My kind of like binge purge cycle just stopped. And like, even when I was having therapy, like, my therapist, we got to this point, she was like, what's changed? Yeah, something shifted. I wasn't triggered by the same things. And I was like, I think it might have been like the Reiki attunement that I had. Yeah, just things just went from there. And I got into all of this just to heal me and to actually start liking myself and feel comfortable in my own skin. And then, like, I never thought that I'd be doing what I do now, or writing books, like anything like that. And then it's just kind of gone from there. But like with the moon, I think it was just starting to understand, like, that we're cyclical beings and so disconnected from nature. And the moon, I'd always been kind of drawn to it, which I think we are anyway, but I think it's easy for people to be skeptical until you've had an experience and you've tried it. I think everyone's entitled to be skeptical. I think it's healthy to be skeptical. And it's not my job to try and persuade people or make them think that it's the best thing ever. But I like to just create experiences for people to try it and find out for them. And I think so much can happen for us when we are open. And for me, with the moon, a lot of it is about self-reflection. Or am I being honest with other people? Like, what's going on? And using the moon for self-reflection, for self-awareness, to see like where I'm holding myself back, where I'm lying to myself, and where I actually want to be going, what I actually want to be doing, and how much of what I'm doing is maybe people-pleasing or getting in my own way, like all of these different things.
It's so interesting, because I asked Instagram what their thoughts were, and I'm going to read out some of them. Again, it's so polarizing. people said it's weird. Someone said I'm a total believer. I'm fascinated but skeptical. And then this is the thing that shifted it for me. I had so many nurses and midwives inundated saying, if you are a nurse or you've worked on a ward with people during full moon, there's no way you can deny the impact of full moon. And actually, once you become a parent, I just see it in my children so vividly. Someone said, oh, it's all an excuse for people to avoid autonomy. It's hippie and weird. And then someone said, oh, my mum was addicted to astrology lines and that scarred me. I think it's really important today, hands up, if everyone accesses this realm via Mystic Meg, that is so far away from what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Another thing that really unpicked it for me is that my uncle, who is not, maybe he is quite spiritual, but you know, on all intents and purposes, he breeds horses, and he was just like, I know the moon has an impact on when they foal. And he said in the farmer's almanac, which is kind of what farmers use for everything as their guide, they've got it in there. And then this morning I was going deep on farmers planting based on the moon, and this isn't some Instagram spiritual thing. This is people working with the land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people working with the land and like biodynamic agriculture. Like, it's all moon based. It's proven that working with the cycles of the moon increases yield and the success of the crops and the quality of it.
But it makes sense, doesn't it? This is me completely projecting, and you're the expert, so I'll go over to you. But in the basic sense, full moon was when we had the most light, if in a time before electricity. So of course you're going to be a bit manic, because that's when you can achieve a load of stuff and particularly give birth, for example, I suppose, when it was safe.
Definitely. It's working, living by nature and understanding those rhythms and those cycles. And I think we're so disconnected from even... and the moon cycle is like 28 days and it goes from like new to full to new again. And it's similar to the seasons. So we have winter, which is like the new moon. And then we have summer, which is the full moon. And then it goes back around. We have like spring and autumn in between, which are like the waxing and the waning. And that's the thing, like, we aren't living with nature and those cycles. Like winter, again, if we were living back without electricity, we would be working with what we've got, eating foods that are around us that are growing at that time. We'd be so connected with what's around, whereas now it's so disconnected and everything's so linear and everything's so available. And I think that's what causes everything to be out of balance in a lot of ways.
I do wonder whether, listening to you, whether it's something that women tend to relate to more. Again, our cycles are broadly 28 days and it matches it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's the same energy flow, like we peak. So when you're ovulating, that's like the full moon. So our energy is peaking, we're feeling more confident and more embodied. And then as we move into the premenstrual and like menstrual phase, like that's the waning moon, the dark moon, like when we're going within. So it's so interesting to understand like where we are in our own cycle.
Yeah.
To know how to manage our energy. Like understanding at certain points, like, oh yeah, like my life isn't falling apart. I'm just on day. What, you know, like this is that
21
phase. Yeah.
But it's so powerful, isn't it? Because as you say, if you stop living in a linear way, especially as females, where you're go, I am getting better at understanding that when I'm in that darker phase, to embrace it and actually do the stuff where I squirrel away and aren't very sociable. In fact, I'd hate the whole world. But then then you come out the other side and there's days when you really do want to be more sociable.
Definitely.
And rather than feeling bad when you chop and change, embracing the differences.
Yeah, each phase has power. Like it is, there are so many benefits to each phase. But I think also we resist the quiet moments where we're supposed to rest and recharge. Like that for a lot of people is really uncomfortable and brings up a lot of guilt.
So when would that be? I'm just thinking of the moon. It would be pretty dark. And
yes, so when it's the new moon, it's dark because there's no light hitting the moon, and that the new moon is the time for kind of introspection, going within and resting and recharging. And like the moon terms, if you were looking at kind of like what to be doing, that would be setting intentions, like getting clear on how you, not being external and making things happen, but really like, what do I want to do? And maybe planning. And then like in agriculture, that's when they're sowing the seeds. that's when they're putting it in the ground. And then as it builds, we're in like the waxing in your menstrual cycle, that's premenstrual, so your energy's building. And then when you're seeing the moon, you're seeing a crescent building, you're seeing the light start to build in the moon. And that's a time where we're feeling more energized. Like that's my actual, everyone talks about the new moon and the full moon. I love the waxing moon phase because it's like that spring energy where we're like, everything just feels a bit lighter, a bit easier, less intense.
And you're having loads of ideas quite often.
Yeah. You can be having ideas and also have the momentum to make it happen because you've got that energy. And as that builds, then you come into the full moon. And that would be like that summer energy, like abundance. And again, like in your menstrual cycle, that's when you're ovulating. That's when you're feeling like Wonder Woman and you can do anything and nothing bothers you and you feel so confident. So that's the peak. And then what happens is it starts to wane. And that's like autumn energy. So that's where we start to feel our energy kind of declining if we're tracking it. And our waning is like when we're coming into premenstrual. And that's where we're kind of wanting to be a bit more isolated, being more selective with who you want to spend time with, maybe being a little less patient with certain things. So something that might not have bothered you when you were pre-ovulation or ovulating is really going to bother you when like you're in that part, and then it kind of like goes back round to you again.
And so for you, do you think it just means there's less friction points, maybe? Is that the right way of phrasing it?
Yeah, so you can understand, okay, like these are my trigger days. These are my days where I don't want to be around anyone. So when you know that, don't make plans to be around other people or do the things that you find more of a struggle. Book that in for the week after.
Yeah, when it'll feel great.
Yeah, exactly. When you don't mind and it's effortless.
Yeah, have some compassion.
A lady called Elisa Vitti wrote Woman Code. She talks about like eating for our cycle as well. So there are certain foods that we should be eating at different parts of our cycle to help regulate that as well.
It's so interesting, isn't it? All the cynics will be saying to me, well, where's the data? How can you justify this? I had a tarot session. And if, again, people are one of two ways on that. They're like, it's an absolute waste of money. What are you doing? But the way I see it is quite clearly, it's just a form of therapy. Whatever you pull and the questions you ask me, get me to ask questions of myself.
Yeah, I think there's so many misconceptions around what the tarot is. Again, that kind of Mystic Meg, future predictions, like tall, dark and handsome, how many kids you're going to have, and half that doesn't happen in the way that you think it is. And like, you know, I was talking to someone the other day and she said one of her friends had got told by a psychic that she was going to marry someone beginning with M. So she only dated guys with beginning with M. Like you were saying earlier, like there are some people that they live by it and they don't have their own kind of critical awareness of like, what is true for me? What is coming up? And often when I do a reading, like I'm not telling anyone anything that they don't already know. I'm just using the cards to say out loud what they know deep down inside, but maybe don't know how to put into words, aren't really sure if that's legitimate to feel like that or to want that. And using the cards to see like, what is blocking you? What is holding you back? Because a lot of the time people come see me, it's because they feel stuck. I'm doing everything, but I can't quite
move forward.
Yeah. So what is it? And my way of reading the cards is like, it's so easy. It's so simple. But once we know what that thing is, we can choose differently. But a lot of the time, we're not conscious of that same decision that we're making over and over again. And that root cause of that decision, even though we think we're doing things differently, there's something underneath that that is fundamentally the same. And then working with the tarot helps to see, okay, that is why you're doing that. Maybe there's like a limiting belief or a self-worth issue or like people pleasing or something, or not trusting in the fact that your intuition is saying this is what you need to be doing, but you're like, I've got no proof for that. Why is this coming up? And often it is the permission slip that you need to be giving yourself. But when someone else, complete stranger, is knowing these things and saying it, it's hard to not take notice then.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? With all of this realm, for me, I think it's really powerful to remember that we are part of a much, much, much bigger system.
Yeah, I think in other cultures, like I'm half Indonesian and I've spent a lot of time in Bali, and spirituality is just interwoven in their culture. Like rituals are part of their every, it's not just on the moon or whatever, there's a ritual for everything, and they give offerings to the gods morning, day and night. There's always something going on, and like the sense of community in those countries is so different. There's that sense of connectedness. I just think that that's so, once you've been around that, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Yeah, it is. I guess it's giving people permission to explore that side of them. Mm. It's about finding answers inside yourself. Does that sound really mad?
No, but that's the whole point. Like that's, I always say to people, like, you've got the answers within you. That's why a lot with the moon ceremonies that I hold, it's all designed for people to tap into their intuition and their answers. And like I said, when I'm doing a tarot reading, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. Mm. It's like, I thought, yeah, I know I keep doing that, or I know that that's going on, or like, yeah, I know that actually I really feel like this about this and I'm not admitting this to myself, and helping you see your answers. Because once we know what our answer is, then we can act accordingly. But I think so many people often, when most people, when if they come to me for a reading, they're like, I don't know what to do. It's like, you do.
Yeah, it's there.
Everybody does, but it's squashed under so much programming or worry or like financial fear. And I think when we start to unpack that, it's like, actually, yeah, this is what I want. How can we create a plan to get there?
So if someone was coming to one of your full moon ceremonies, what would that look like?
So every new and full moon will be in a different zodiac sign. The moon changes signs every 2.5 days. And when the moon is in a different sign, it's like a moody forecast of like what's going on. And like, this is just like a snapshot, because it's all to do with what all the planets are doing as well. Like, we're influenced by all of them. But when the moon is in a sign, it influences the mood that we're in, or the mood of like the weather forecast of what's going on around. So say, for example, if the moon was in like Aries, the collective mood can be quite driven, and everybody thinks that they know best. So it's very hard to have a meeting with someone if the moon is in Aries, because you're not going to find a middle ground because everyone thinks that they're right. So it would be better to maybe have a meeting like when the moon is in Capricorn, that's your kind of like get to work mood. So it can give you that push to like get on with some projects. When the new moon in Capricorn, that was January.
Yes,
so that's when everyone. Yeah, so that's when everyone is like setting their resolutions, what they want, their ambitions, their goals. And then we come to the Capricorn full moon. So that's when we're seeing like what has happened, what has developed over those 6 months from those seeds that I have sown.
Yeah.
Am I on track? Why hasn't this happened? Have I come out of alignment?
Oh, moon signs, if you want to just quickly touch on that.
Okay. Your moon sign is where the moon was when you were born. It's like how you are emotionally. So it's like your emotional needs, what makes you feel safe, secure, what nourishes you. It can also be relatable to your relationship with your mum, because the moon represents the maternal energy and how you love others. It's the deeper side, like the one that your close friends will really know about you, and kind of also your emotional triggers. But you can also see it as like your moon sign is a bit like your love language, what you need to feel safe and secure, like what you need your partner.
How they need to show up for
you. Yeah, how they need to show up for you. So when we know what our moon sign is and what our emotional needs are, I don't think we can expect our partners to be all of that. I think it's a lot to put on one person to be everything, but we need to know what we need. So A, that we can communicate it and ask it clearly from them, and B, know how to give that to ourselves first and foremost.
Exactly. And to all my kids, have each got different moon signs, and they're different from their sun signs. And yeah, researching them was really, really revealing. So my middle boy is a Sagittarius, but his moon sign is Pisces. And it was really nice for me to hear, because I am a Pisces, and we've always kind of connected on that feeling all the feelings level. Yeah. But that felt quite different from his day-to-day energy, which is really fun time guy.
Yeah.
But he's feeling all the things. So it's, yeah. And again, you can, there will be people listening to this thing saying you are talking absolute rubbish. And you know what? We're not here to try and convert anyone. For me, it is nothing more than a lens on how to frame yourself and possibly other people. And if what you read doesn't make any sense, that's fine. But all that has happened to me is I've read stuff and it has unpicked relationships with people. It's made me know how to communicate with them in a different way, understand what it is we see in each other, especially you can have some friendships and some relationships where you feel like you're so opposite, and perhaps understanding that that's for a reason.
Yeah. And I think often a lot of people, like when you start to learn about astrology, you start to realize the synchronicity. So like my mum is Aquarius moon, my boyfriend is Aquarius, my moon is Aquarius.
Yeah.
And it's this unconscious thing where my moon is like, this is what love is. This is what I am attracted to. So the sun is external. And I think that's the thing with a lot of your sun sign, so many people don't relate fully to their sun signs.
Because of the stuff going on underneath it.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, that's not me. So when you start to look at your birth chart and have a reading like with a proper astrologer, it just starts to, like, you know, you can do like free birth charts and they're great to have a proper reading.
A real one. There's a good website called Cafe Astrology. They do a free birth chart and it's pretty good.
Yeah, when you start looking into it, I think it's just I went up going to like a family thing in Holland like last year. And we were chatting about it and we ended up just doing birth charts and like my whole family not into it before, and they're like, oh my God, like this is like me, this is you, this is crazy. And like I said, it's not just your sun sign, so don't dismiss it that, because it's just a tiny snapshot of it. Start looking at all the other things and like then see.
And all you Virgos out there, we see you, we know you think this is crap.
Yeah.
Astrology jokes.
No, I know.
But it's so true. Yeah, you know what, all of this, I would really urge, if you're at all interested, do book a tarot reading, do read up about this stuff and explore it, you know. Mm-hmm. And if it isn't for you, it isn't for you. But anything that, especially at a time when loads of stuff is up in the air, I'm a big fan of self-exploration, and I think this is a way of accessing that, simple as that. As a kind of way towards the end, in the name of the podcast is Honestly, and I'm really interested in the idea of whether you think that we are losing the art of honest conversation.
Yeah, I think I'm lucky. I've got some friends that I can be completely honest with.
Really?
But I think now, because of the way that we communicate, a lot of people speak over just WhatsApp now, don't they? Or voice messages and things. So it's like you're not going to, there's always a barrier. There's always that kind of, you're only just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
I think it's so much easier to be honest with someone when you're seeing them face to face. Often the time we think we're telling the truth, but we're not being honest. So the truth is, like, I've like spent too much money and I'm worrying about it. And the honest thing is that you were feeling really crap
and you were trying to fill up.
So there's two different things. So telling the truth and honesty are very different things. And I think when we start, the honesty is when we take things deeper. So we can tell someone the truth and be like, yeah, I'm not feeling great.
Mm.
But the truth is there's so much more going on.
That's so interesting. The more you advocate for honest conversations, for me, that feels like my default setting now, because that's what I do. And then once in a while, you bring it on people who aren't used to it and you're like, oh, right, yeah. You're not really down with this. But actually what I love is that sometimes the people who are prepared to really go there aren't really always the people that you expect. I love it when you, like, you're just sitting like a person that you think you know and you go for it and you're like, oh no, you're gonna meet me on this. But also I have to really, and this is probably the Pisces in me, I often then get really bad vulnerability hangovers and be like, and want to kind of take back everything that I've said.
Yeah.
And you have to really sit with some of that discomfort sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, and I think also it's just forgiving yourself and thinking, well, actually, that was your truth.
That was me.
What was your truth? Like, so you shouldn't, you being honest, so you shouldn't feel bad for being honest, because I think, what is it, Brené Brown says, like, clarity is kindness, not being clear is unkind.
It's Brené.
Queen Brené.
I'm going to literally ruminate on that thought for a while. Okay, last question. If you could have an honest conversation with one person, could be dead, alive, a younger version of yourself, or someone on the internet, anyone, who would it be and what would you say?
Oh, do you know what? It would be my dad. Quite deep.
Is he alive?
He's alive.
Well, what would you say to him?
I think I would just, we've only recently, like in the last like couple of years, like started talking again. I think I would be, I'd be honest with how much he hurt me.
Do you think he'd be able to hear that?
I think he'd have to.
Yeah.
Again, we talk over WhatsApp a lot, so you can't really go there. He lives in Holland.
Right.
Don't see each other in like that amount of time, but I've seen him a couple of times now, so I think next time I will do
it's
that
coming.
It's look out.
Well, I mean, you've just put it out there, we're not on full moon, but we're close to full moon, so you're manifesting that. There you go, make that happen.
More honest conversations.
More honest conversations, exactly. So, bit of admin, where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at __wolfsister. And then my website is wolfsister.com. And my books are both available on Amazon. So The Crystal Code and Luna.
There you go. Go check them out, people. And I would, anyone listening who wants to give any feedback, and I really am very, very open to hear what you've got to say. So either comment on Instagram or on any of the podcast platforms, or you can send me an email at hello@clemmytelford.com. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Honestly. If you've enjoyed this episode and you are particularly interested in the references we made about how your period can sync with the moon, then I recommend heading back to series 2 when I spoke to Maisie Hill about periods and we talked about this in much more detail. I'd love to know your thoughts, so please do give me a rating or review, and even better, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's episode delivered straight to you.